Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
The scripture reading today comes from the 6th chapter of the book of Mark, the 14th through the 29th verses. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said he is Elijah. And still others claimed he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled. Yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guest. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guest, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
May we pray. Speak to us, O Lord, through your messenger, Mark. Speak to us and give us words to think as well as words to be transformed by. Help us not to just be thinkers of the word, but doers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So who is the Herod that we are talking about here? It is Herod Antipas. This is Herod the Great's son. And if you know anything about Herod the Great, you would think that something's very special about Herod Antipas, because usually if you were a son of Herod, you were very lucky to live from day to day. Some say that you were more safer being Herod's pig than you were his sons. Kings of that time had sons who was trying to overrule their father and would do it by killing them or having them killed so that they could take reign. Well, if Herod thought that you were trying to take over his kingdom and he thought that you would conspire to kill him, well, he would kill you first. So here we have a son of his that must not have threatened Herod, because he's alive and not dead, him and Herod's pigs. So here we have Herod who hears about someone that makes him think about someone else. Herod's guilt makes him think about someone else. Jesus is out, and of course you and I recall that verse of scripture where Jesus says to his disciples, who do people say that I am? And you will recall that there were those who said, well, some think you are Elijah, some think that you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And here we hear it again in Mark's gospel. We don't have Peter here announcing who he is. He doesn't ask Peter here about that. We just hear what the people are saying. Well, Herod thought that it was John the Baptist who had come back to life. Well, why in the world would Herod think that John the Baptist had come back to life? Is it not feelings of guilt? Have you ever had feelings of guilt? You've heard that saying, haven't you? Guilt is the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. You know, if you feel guilty, you still have a conscience, do you not? It's people who don't have a conscience that we get concerned about, because a person without a conscience never does anything wrong. But Herod has a conscience. He feels guilty. I wonder where that came from. Could it be those days or nights that he went to visit John? You know, he protected John from his second wife, Herodias, who comes from a royal family. He was protecting John the Baptist from Herodias because she was bothered when John would say to her and Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Well, you know, there are some people with power and wealth who keep yes men around. You know what I'm talking about. People who agrees with everything they say, you know. Some people think that's who the preachers get on their SPPR. You know what I mean? Yes men. Yet, you and I also know that deep down, each of us wants somebody who will at least tell us the truth. We may not always want to hear it, but we at least want somebody to tell us the truth. David had his, did he not? King David had his, did he not? He had Nathan to come to him and say, you are the man. Well, Herod had his, John the Baptist, who said, you are the man. And I sort of wonder in these conversations what all John the Baptist said to Herod, because Herod was had feelings of complexity. John just entertained him. He gave him a lot of things to think about. Have you ever come to church and heard things in the Bible or learned things in the Bible or heard the preacher say things and you went out of church going, you know, that's something to think about? Have you ever said that? Has it ever gone any further than just thinking about it? I go to the doctor sometimes, and the doctor will say to me, you know, Randall, you could stand to lose 15 pounds. And you know what I say? Well, that's something to think about. And when I come back and step on the scales, the doctor will be revealed of how long I thought about that. You know, don't get me wrong. Repentance means to rethink. Repentance means to change your mind. Today, there may be some things on our minds that we've been mulling around that God would have us change our mind about, and we've been thinking about it for a long time, but our thinking has basically not gone to the next step, and that is doing something about it. Herod may have felt guilty about killing John or having him killed, but it doesn't seem that he did any more than just think about it. You and I can have a philosophy of religion. But you and I need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. We can have a philosophy of religion and it not change anything about us, our relationships or whatever. But a relationship with Jesus Christ changes our relationships with ourselves and with other persons. One of the things that you and I have as United Methodist Christians, our founder John Wesley believed that if we were saved, we would not have any guilt. We would not be controlled by guilt. Why? Because when we confess our sins and we believe that Jesus Christ has forgiven us of our sins, we have no reason to feel guilty. They're gone. We may not can forgive ourselves, But Jesus has forgiven us, and therefore we don't have to worry about standing before him in the last day. And he says, oh yeah, by the way, you remember that sin I forgave you for? Well, I would like to dig it back up, and let's talk a little bit about that. Aren't you glad we don't have to worry about that one? When it's forgiven, it's forgiven. When it's gone, it's gone. And what does the verse say? We quote this a lot. He forgives us as far as the east is from the west. But it don't circle and come back around. You hear what I'm saying? So Herod had the guilt. Guilt is what we do. Shame is what we think we are. Jesus not only comes to take away our guilt, but also our shame. There may be things in mind in your life that we have done that Jesus has forgiven us for, but we haven't forgiven ourselves for. We may have labeled ourselves with whatever action we have done, and we haven't been able to live that down. But brothers and sisters, we'll never be able to live that down until we lift that up and give it to the Lord and say, Lord, this is who I was. This is not what I want to be anymore. Wash me clean. Give me another chance, and God will. We need to get rid of the guilt. We need to get rid of the shame so that we can be absolutely free to be the persons that God has created us to be. Because if not, if we are guilt-ridden Christians, we will always have that before us, and the evilness of this world will always point to what we have done. But the cross erases it. The cross negates it. No longer are we the people who we were. Now we are the people who we are becoming. We haven't reached it yet? No, we haven't. We haven't reached perfection yet? No, we haven't. But with God's help, we try to make everything that we think and do be managed and governed by God's love. Something else that we hear here in the scriptures is whenever Herod's second wife had an opportunity to get rid of John, she used leverage. She knew how to use leverage. And as I say, she comes from a royal family. Herodias is not stupid. She was standing there, and you know, she tried to get John killed, but Herod would protect him. But one day she had her chance. Her daughter danced at Herod's birthday, and as she was dancing, she pleased Herod, it says, and he was so pleased and so enthralled that he promised her half of his kingdom, which he didn't have a kingdom to give her half of. He wasn't a king, he was a governor. He was ruled by the Roman Empire. You know, sometimes whenever we get too happy, you know, we think we got more power than what we do. But of course, you and I know that money is not the root of all evil. You know, we hear that quoted, but that's not what the Bible says. Money is not the root of all evil. Power is not the root of all evil. You and I know what the Bible says. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. You and I can be wealthy and have authority and help people, or we can have money and power and help ourselves to people. Herod was the latter. So was his wife. They were made for each other, I think. But her and her daughter were right up there with Jezebel. You know how sly Jezebel was. She knew how to use her leverage as well. She knew how to use the law. She knew how to use the power. And so did Herodias. Unfortunately, her daughter couldn't think for herself. So when Herod asked her to say and to ask whatever she wanted, she runs to her mother. And her mother puts her in a triangle. And she gets what she wants by using her daughter. Brothers and sisters, I believe in the Trinity, and usually a Trinity is a triangle. Have you noticed that? But the worst things that you and I can allow ourselves to be put in is a triangle. You and I are to help those who cannot help themselves. We are to get in the middle of that. But you and I are not to get in the middle of people who can help themselves. Unless there's something we want to help people with their permission, or help them out, that's good. But triangles can be a very, very dangerous thing. Preachers should know that better than anyone. The first time I learned about a triangle was in my second apartment. Someone asked me to order them something from Cokesbury, and I did something stupid. I said, okay. I called Cokesbury and I ordered what they wanted me to order. And 2 weeks passed, and this person who asked me to order something called me and said, where is my package? Like I'm Cokesbury. All of a sudden I thought, you know, something don't feel right here. What's going on here? So I went to some of my old heads and I said, what have I done? And they said, well, Randall, you've put yourself in a triangle. And I said, a what? A triangle. Yeah. I said, you mean like the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? They said, well, no. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost have boundaries. You need to practice boundaries. So I learned what triangles were. And I find that many of us allow ourselves to be put in triangles. And oftentimes when you and I allow ourselves to be put in triangles, do you know who loses? We who allow ourselves to be put in triangles. When people ask me to do something that they can do themselves, I always ask myself, why are they asking me to do it? I had a woman who asked me in front of her son if I would please go and talk to him about his drinking and try and get him to stop drinking. And I mean, it was like he wasn't even standing there. Sometimes those who want us to help another want us to help them because they may be the problem. It's like the woman who went to the counselor because her husband drank too much and he always stayed drunk. And the counselor said, well, if he stays drunk all the time, who goes and gets his liquor? And she said, I do. He said, well, maybe he doesn't have the problem. You and I are to intervene for the weak and the powerless. But you and I are not to try and live someone else's life. The Holy Spirit wants to live his life through you and me. And when you and I try to live someone else's life, then we are competing with the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, if you want to put your backside in a sling, that's one way to do it. Because if the Holy Spirit is trying to get me to do one thing, and you're trying to get me to do another, someone's in the way. And you don't want to be that person. And I don't want to be that person. But there are people who don't want the responsibility of their own life, who will put you and me in the middle. And you and I will be thinking that we are doing them a favor. And in some situations, we are doing them a favor. We will do them a favor. But in some situations, we will do them harm. We will do them harm. So today, I ask you to please, you and me, find our place in relationship with one another. Let us help one another be the person that God has created us to be. And may we help the other to know that, as Ben said, we have the power to be the person God created us to be. Amen? May we pray. Almighty God, we are thankful today that we are in relationship with you and that you love us and that we are to love one another, and there is a healthy way of loving one another. We pray, O Lord, that we would use our power and our authority to help others, to love others, and not to help ourselves to others. It is our desire, O Lord, that as we are lifted by love, that we would lift you up as we are, so that you might shine and not ourselves. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you again for allowing us to worship with you on this Lord's Day. We look forward to worshiping with you again. God bless you.